Welcome to the Be the CEO of Your Life and Business podcast. I'm Laura Catina.
And I'm Amy Mara.
And we created this podcast out of our own struggles with the hope that we can help other women who are navigating one of the many different seasons we've been through.
Whether you're running a business or dealing with the juggling act of your motherhood and your career, we are here to give you real tips and strategies to navigate it all. So let's dive into today's episode.
Wow, this week has just been one of those weeks where we have been running in opposite directions all week, and we are sadly recording on Zoom today, which we never like to have to do now that we're in the office together all the time. But this week, this has been life, and this is just how our busy schedules have been. And the topic we want to talk to actually kind of rings true to this, because we want to talk about the topic of being authentic in business. And dispelling the misconception that everything that walks through your door, or it lands in your inbox in your emails, or lands on your voicemails, is the next client that you need to take. And having been in this business now for, almost 3.5 years, we have seen just how important it is to stay authentic to your business and stay authentic to who you are, the vision that you have for your firm, and what kind of clients you actually want to serve without overextending yourself to every John and Mary that comes along and needs your services or believes they do.
Yeah. It's, first of all, I have to tell you how much I don't like being on Zoom because I cannot believe that we used to record like this every week.
Every week.
And now my emails are popping up and making noise, and I'm like, I have to shut this down. I don't know what's happening. I feel like we haven't done this in so long. It's just been one of those weeks. But, you know, I think this is an important topic for us, and one that we've really developed over time, because we've both been in places where it was literally just everything that came in the door was taken, and we had to work on it, whether we were familiar with it or not. And I think it's so important to zero in really on the kind of work you should be doing, the kind of work you're comfortable doing, the kind of client that you want to work for. Now, listen, are there going to be circumstances where you take something where maybe you shouldn't have, or, you know, you need to take something for a particular reason? Yeah, that'll happen. But yeah. The more we can, and I'm finding, the more that we can focus on taking work and client relationships that are more authentic to who we are and what we're comfortable doing, the happier we are and the better our business will run, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to talk about one of the ways that we do this, right? Because I think that it can be really hard to make this determination when you go in with the mindset of like, I'm losing something, right? If I don't take this client, I'm going to be at a loss for something. And it's a matter of perception, because I'm going to give you two different examples of this playing in real life. We have a client that we're representing at our firm right now, where in hindsight, and without getting into a lot of detail, I actually wish that we had not taken on this matter, because I feel like the opposing counsel has been the only reason that we have not been able to successfully settle this matter and resolve it to date, because of a host of reasons of why they've just been extremely difficult, unwilling to resolve cases in general, not very detail oriented, and they haven't really been paying attention to the case and giving the case a lot of time. So it's become an issue for us, because we now have almost like an erosion of trust from our own client, who's saying, how is this possible? Why can't this matter be resolved? And asking all these questions that we wish we had the answer to, but really the answer points back to the unwillingness of the other side to really come to the table. So we have that example, right? Where you'd think that, you know, making sure that you take on this client, it would be great because it's bringing in revenue. It's giving us work. It's work that we enjoy doing. But at the same time, it's actually a bit destructive and detrimental to us, because we are not getting the results that we think that we could have gotten under different circumstances. And then on the flip side, I had a client intake call this week alone where the case is fantastic. Like, I was beaming. I told Laura about it yesterday.
Amy's wheelhouse.
Totally my wheelhouse. It was a fantastic case. The fact pattern was so on point. I really think that the client was going to have the evidence necessary to support the claims that were present in this dispute. Yet, as I was doing a little pre-litigation investigation on behalf of this client, I noticed that there was an attorney on the other side who is more likely than not going to represent the other side in this case. And I said to Laura, I just can't take this case in good conscience because I know how difficult it will be to have this opposing counsel on the other side. And it's actually going to be more harmful for the client to have to deal with that kind of personality, particularly because that other personality doesn't like women attorneys on the other side. So yeah, there's that. And so I really don't think that that's in the best interest of our client. So here we have the example of where a subtraction, right? Something that we're not taking on is actually going to prove to be more beneficial for us because we will not have to deal with the stress and the aggravation of dealing with that opposing counsel who we know is going to be extraordinarily difficult on this case.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is something that I think we've developed over time.
Yes.
Because earlier on in our business, we were definitely more nervous, right, about building our business and being able to get work. And we didn't want to, you know, turn away clients, especially if it was something like this that's right in your wheelhouse, right? So totally something you can handle. But we have just learned over time that there are so many different factors that need to be considered when we have something that comes in the door. You know, if we know in the beginning who is on the other side, the experience that Amy was talking about before, the first one, you know, had a case against the same person, what, 2 years ago now, 2.5 years ago?
Yeah.
And the only reason that that case did not resolve when it should have resolved was because of this person. And so I said to Amy, if you'd like to take cases with this person, be my guest. But I made a decision a long time ago that I will not take a case with this person on the other side because the length of the delay, the lack of diligence, everything that happens on the other end has proven in a couple different circumstances to be detrimental to our clients. And so it's simply just not something that we're willing to take on at this point, right? Is that fair?
Yeah. So that's one, it's just exercising that judgment, right? And that's the takeaway from this first example is you have to learn over time to exercise judgment in the sense that sometimes subtractions are actually additions. Sometimes not having that situation in your life is actually going to save your energy to be used in a different direction. And while it can be scary to turn away business, and it has to feel right to you. And I know that that's a really fuzzy, amorphous way of saying that, you know, you go into business and like you can call through different matters or clients that are, you know, potentially coming through your business, is that you have to like feel it. But when you do this for long enough and you are really having to exercise that judgment over and over again, you just start to pick up all of those additional factors that you start to consider. And you say, wait a second, I realize like, hey, I had a case with this person before. They're not a person that's going to be professional. They're not going to be civil. They're probably going to take it out of my client. I mean, in the first case, I can't even tell you how despicable this attorney was to my own client. It was awful. And it so it's like, bad. I can't in good conscience put myself in a position where this attorney is going to be as despicable to another one of my clients. So that's the first takeaway, is you have to learn how to exercise that judgment of what feels right, that sometimes those opportunities that you decline are actually much better for you and for your business overall.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. It goes for the type of matter too, right? Like for me, just because it's something I'm familiar with and I can do doesn't mean that it's something I should take on, because it could totally drain my energy and take energy away from other matters that, you know, will, you know, give me more energy and make me happier to work on, like landlord-tenant cases. I decided a while back that I will not handle these matters anymore because they are too stressful. At least in New York, they drag on forever and ever, and it's too much chaos. So, you know, I will only do them for a client that's like a long-term client that I've done other work for on commercial properties, because I cannot handle the aggravation and the stress of these landlord-tenant matters. It's just too much. You do like a cost-benefit analysis, right? So what am I going to make on this? And is it worth the aggravation, what I'm going to go through having to handle this matter? And sometimes it doesn't matter the amount of money because you could pay me anything and I'm still not doing it.
Yeah. Right? So it's funny. So in line with that, we have a couple of friends of ours who witnessed another attorney going into court over the past couple of weeks with a certain application that, like, this attorney really does not belong doing this kind of work. And that's the thing. It's like, it gets back to you. Our legal community is so small that when you're not in your wheelhouse, everybody else is going to know it. Like
we've heard from three different people on this.
Yes. Yes. And even before that, last month, I had another conversation with a colleague saying like, oh, so-and-so was in court today and didn't look that good. Like, looked a little shaky, not really sure why they were there on this one. Didn't sound so confident. And it comes back around. So it's part of your reputation, right? So when you're trying to be authentic in business, you have to remember that every single time that you have an interaction with a client, a colleague, for us, it's when you're in the courthouse, when you're in front of the clerks, when you're in front of the law secretaries, they're all picking up on what you're doing there. they will say things to other people. We are human. We will talk about these things, and there will be a little gossip wheel going around where people are going to talk about it. And that goes back to your reputation. And when you have referral sources that come from your colleagues and other clients and other people that might be sitting there unknowingly, like, they might be your next client. You have no idea. So why not try and stay authentic to the wheelhouse that you know? You don't always have to go outside of your wheelhouse. It's not to say that you can't challenge yourself ever, but when you have a wheelhouse, stick to that wheelhouse. There is plenty of business that is going to come to you through that wheelhouse. And I want to bring up one other example too. This is something else that happened this week that Laura and I talked about. We had another client who was mentioning another case that was totally in our wheelhouse. Either one of us could have handled, but the case was outside of a jurisdiction that we don't necessarily practice in all of the time. And for us, it was, again, that abundance mindset. You know what? We pass it along to somebody else, that another colleague will be able to pick it up, be able to handle it. They're in those courts all the time. It doesn't need to stay with us just because we can do it.
This is where I was going to go next. I'm glad you brought that up. The scarcity versus abundance mindset, because it is very easy to fall into the scarcity mindset. Because listen, business is challenging, life is challenging, paying your bills can be challenging. And if you have like a scarcity mindset and you're scared about where your next dollar is coming from, which is a legit fear, right? We all understand that. You know, it's easy to just say, you know what, I'm just going to take this because I want to make the money on it, even though I'm not familiar, or it's in a, you know, venue, a court that's 2.5 hours from here. Another thing this week that came in, it's not the one you're talking about, it's something else, where the case would have been 2 hours away. And is it something that we can handle? Yeah, sure. It's in our wheelhouse. Yeah. But I said, you know, to the attorney that works with us, Alejandra, I was like, this is not beneficial to the client. Like they need to have somebody who's local out there, even though they want to work with us, which I totally appreciate and I love that. But it's really not only is it in our best interest, but it's in the client's best interest. Like we don't need to take this case that is so, you know, far away, because it's not going to be beneficial to the client. So I think that, you know, there's just so many different things that we need to take into consideration. But, you know, it's easier said than done, right? Not to be in that scarcity mindset.
So the second tip would definitely be to recognize that, you know, there are other cases that are going to come along. We have seen this time and time again. It's been in our book of proof for the past 3.5 years, where we have seen new cases, new clients, some of them really exciting, some of them really challenging work that's come through. And it's probably because we've said no to other things and we've opened the door and allowed ourselves to have this new opportunity present itself to us. So that would be the second takeaway. I think the third takeaway and tip that I would give to any kind of business owner out there is to pick up on the cues for the clients that seem like they are not going to be very good paying clients. which is another tip that we've learned very recently. When clients start telling you that they're concerned about paying legal fees, and they say it early and they say it often, just run in the opposite direction. Say no, do not pass go, do not collect $200, get out of there. Because I guarantee you, because we've seen it time and time again, not only in this practice, but in former practices, those clients that are very vocal about, will you take on this kind of fee arrangement? Do you think I can pay you this way? Will you be able to float the litigation for me? They are not the client that you are going to want to service, because they are going to chew you down at every opportunity. And for attorneys especially, for some reason, clients can sometimes balk at our bills because I don't know what reasons it is. Because as one of our former colleagues used to say, you pay your electrician when they come and turn your lights back on. You pay a plumber when they come and fix your plumbing in your house. Why would you not pay an attorney who's providing professional services for you as well? You pay your accountant to file your taxes every year. It's the same thing. So a couple of factors go into that. I think that the lack of experience in litigation and the lack of experience in lawsuits can certainly make a client a little more reluctant because they don't realize the costs. But we try to be very upfront and open and honest with the clients from the very beginning, how costly and how expensive litigation in particular can be. But when you start seeing those signs, like, they are there for a reason. The client's saying them now, wait until they get the bill and they will be saying it 10 times louder.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, legal issues can be expensive. And so I'm always upfront about how expensive litigation can be, even if it's a small matter. We can never guarantee, right, what the outcome is going to be. I can't guarantee how long it's going to take. I can't guarantee, you know, what your fees are going to be, whether they're going to be low or high. Like, we don't know. I can give you like a guesstimate, but there's never a guarantee. And so I think we've gotten better at, you know, kind of weeding those out and seeing, and it's not just the fact that they don't want to pay. It's stressful. Like, it creates a ripple effect. Like, if you're not paying for our services, then like, we have people to pay. Like, we have bills for the, like, it's just, it's like a ripple effect. So I think we've gotten better at weeding that out. But again, that is being true to us. Like, we could take everything that walks in the door, whether it's a client we think is going to pay or not, just because it's business and there's a prospect of being paid. But that wouldn't be true to who we are and what we want to accomplish, right?
No, because it's, again, it's, this business is stressful enough as it is, that when you can try to eliminate some of the likely or probable stress factors that are going to be present, you got to do it. And you have to do it with the mindset that, and it's going to take time to train yourself. It certainly took us a long time, and we're still learning it every single day, that there is going to be another opportunity that comes your way. It's not that this client is the end all be all, the biggest case in the, of the century, or whatever it is, that the highest volume client, whatever industry you might be in. It's not that. Every single client presents their own challenges. It's a unique opportunity to serve them in certain ways, and you'll find joy in that process. But when you go into it with the mindset of like, you have to take it or else, you're going to put yourself in a really bad position to be so fearful and so stressed in that relationship that you're not going to perform your best. You're not going to give them the top-notch service that they require and they deserve. And so if these tips can help in some way of alleviating that and reminding you to be authentic to the kind of business person that you want to be, we hope that they really help you.
Yeah. Can be really hard to be authentic and true, like, to who you want to be in the business that you want to run. But, you know, you work at it. Like, we've been working at it for 3.5 years. This is not easy. Like, we didn't start our partnership and end up in this place. Like, it's taken 3.5 years.
It's a really long time.
Yeah. So that's why we like to bring these business tips once in a while, because Amy and I we're just learning as we go. So as we learn, we like to share.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We thank you for spending time with us today, and we'll talk to you on the next episode.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, and perhaps share it with someone that you think might benefit from today's episode. We'll see you next week.